open a Bible to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we've been talking about what does it look like to find your place in the body of Christ, to belong among the people of God, to say, these are my people and this is my place. We talked last week about finding your people. I want us to talk today about what would it be like if you could find yourself? What would it be like if you could see what God has done in you, with you, as a gift from Him? So we've been talking about it in terms of the five G's, and forgive me for that. It's just a mnemonic to help me hold it all together. But we've been talking about how the first piece is that entrance into the family of God by grace through faith. I'm born again. Born again by grace through faith, not of myself. It is the gift of God, not by my works, so that no one can boast. And then to grow in Christ. I've seen so many people, maybe you've been this person in the past. You came to Jesus, you asked Him to forgive you, you asked Him to come into your life, and then you dropped it because you said to yourself, I'm good to go. I've got my ticket punched. I'm okay. I'm going to make it to heaven when I die. Oh, but precious ones, it doesn't make sense, does it? To have received such a great gift and to not live in gratitude for that gift. I'm determined to grow in my relationship with Christ. I'm determined to become more and more like Him. And I'm determined when I stumble, and I will stumble. I have stumbled. I am determined to get back up. Can I get an amen? And to keep going and to press on to know Him, to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. And I'm determined to find the people. The way Paul said it is, pursue righteousness, faith, and love, along with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm determined to find other people who love Jesus like I love Jesus, who want what I want, who want to be found faithful to Him, who want to be on the journey with Him. And I'm going to find my people, and I'm going to gather them, and I'm not going to give up the gathering with one another, as some are in the habit of doing, but we're going to spur one another on to love and good works, and we're going to gather together. And today I want us to talk about what would it look like if you could figure out that God has gifted you. Now, I'll tell you, when I was a kid growing up in this message, there would always be someone who wanted to teach a class on spiritual gifts. And I love the message of spiritual gifts. The idea that God has hung some things on the tree of your life, that God has decorated your life with particular gifts, things that He's made you uniquely good at, uniquely qualified for, uniquely skillful for. And honestly, when you look at it, you say, that's not me, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I love the notion of spiritual gifts. Paul talks about spiritual gifts a ton. If your gift is leadership, then lead diligently. If it is giving, give generously. All these incredible, beautiful, wonderful spiritual gifts. And the message behind spiritual gifts is this: none of us are complete by ourselves. We need one another because none of us have all the gifts. We each have only some of the gifts, and when we come together, we paint a portrait of who God is and who we can be as the people of God. But I want to talk about gifted today from a little different perspective than that. I don't want to pass out a questionnaire to help you find your spiritual gift. I don't want to pass out something that's going to list out the spiritual gifts that you find written in the New Testament. Here's something that God's been dealing with me about in more recent years, in my own pursuit of becoming more and more like Jesus. God has been working with me about learning how to see what God has done in me and simply receive it from His hand. There's that line from the song we just sang, but you'll see it again here in a minute in Psalm 139, where David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he says this, we'll see it here in a minute. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And I know that full well for a long, long time. For a long, long time. There were parts of my life that I was just so ashamed of, that I felt were so marred and so stained and so broken, unredeemable. And the prayer was, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you obliterate those things from my life? And my prayer now is something more along the lines of, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you show me that your works are wonderful and how you made me? Well, let me just offer you these. Not so much questions as premises. You know what I'm talking about, the premise of an argument, the thing that I take for granted, right? The thing that I stand on and then go from there. Not so much questions to ask as truth statements to hold on to. That's what I want to offer you today. So the first truth statement that I want to offer you today is God made me the way I am on purpose. God made me the way I am on purpose. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't lose a few pounds. But God made me the way I am on purpose. That's not to say that I couldn't live a more disciplined life. But God made me the way I am on purpose. That's not to say that I couldn't be more patient with my wife or more loving to my children. But God made me the way I am on purpose. Premise number two, life has marred my understanding of how God made me. It has. It has. My parents are the most wonderful parents you could ever imagine, that you could long for. But they're not perfect, and neither were yours. One of those two statements you could say a wholehearted yes to. Some of you didn't have parents who pointed you to Jesus. Some of you didn't have parents who called out God's best in you, but we all had parents who were marked by their own experiences, some good, some brutal. We all had parents. We all had parents who were flawed and harmed, and they couldn't help but, well, you've heard the old cliche, hurt people hurt people. And life has marred my understanding of how God made me. It has. And life has marred your understanding of how God made you. But it doesn't change the fact that God made you who you are. God made you how you are on purpose. And here's the last one of these three, and we'll come back to them in a little bit. But I am becoming, once again, the person God made me to be. And the process of discipleship is as much about what you let go of as it is about what you take hold of. The process of discipleship is as much about exposing the lies and letting them go as much as it is about laying hold of the truth and walking into it. And I want us to spend some time on that today, where it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that. I know that. Can I just invite you into that same kind of knowing that David had? It's in Psalm 139. It's verse 14. I know that full well. Let me invite you to just know that. I don't know how. I don't know how that my life and my experience reflects your glory. But I know that it does. I heard somebody say one time, God don't make junk. But for so long, the enemy has lied to you about your life. And so there may be other people who are valuable and worthy, but not you. That's a lie. That's a lie. I know that full well. There's this line that Peter wrote, actually two that I want to call your attention to. One says this. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I love this. It says, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He has given us everything we need. You think you're deficient. You feel like there's something missing. You feel like there's some secret that someone hasn't let you in on. But the fact is, precious ones, He has made us, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and grace. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. I know this sounds crazy. This sounds crazy, but it's the truth. It's the truth that He has planted His Holy Spirit in you. And at least in some ways, it is a matter of getting out of God's way so that the Holy Spirit can flow through your life. He says this, he says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive." And Lord, in Jesus' name, we long to be kept from lives that are ineffective and unproductive. Amen? Oh, if only we could know how gifted we truly are. There's a line from 1 Peter chapter 3 where it says this. He says, each of you should use whatever you've received to serve others. Not only has God made us the way he longs for us to be, there is a purpose behind it. And so we're going to take some time and we're going to walk through kind of a process, if you will. This idea of finding myself and then losing myself and then finding myself again. And I want to take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden, because precious ones, anything you can trace of the hand of God all the way back to before the fall kind of tells you what life was supposed to look like in the first place. Can I get an amen on that? Can you work with me on that? Because that, I think that's an important concept. Whatever you see of the way life was supposed to look like before it was marred and charred and dented and scratched by the enemy of your soul, that tells you something about what God had in mind all along. And it says here in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." God made you like him. God set eternity in your heart. He shaped you in a God-shaped way. "Let us make man, let us make woman, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created us. Male and female, he created us. And God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And God saw all that he had made. Verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and he said, "It is very good." Very good. Everything else he had said at the end of those creation days, he had said, "And it was good, and it was good, and it was good." And then when God made you, when God made me, he said, "It was very good." In fact, I'll tell you a key that unlocked that passage for me some time ago. I was looking it up in Hebrew. I wish I was more fluent in Hebrew. I'm not. I'm not at all. But I've got some tools that help me. And I found that the same word that is translated good in Genesis chapter 1 could just as easily be translated beautiful. It was good. It was good. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful. Could you imagine God saying that about you? Could you imagine God pronouncing that over you? Finding myself made in the image of God, finding myself crafted with the breath of God blown into me. And it was good. It was very good. It was beautiful. But that was the start of the story, and it didn't stop there. Because we are in this ongoing process of finding myself and losing myself, and finding myself and losing myself, and finding myself and losing myself. And just across the page, just a chapter later, there's this statement that's made about Adam and Eve, and forgive me if it sounds PG-13, but the capstone of it is, Adam and his wife were both naked and unashamed. Nothing to hide. Nothing to fear, nothing to be ashamed of. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And in my Bible, it's right across the page. I just drew an arrow from one column to the other after the enemy had come in. after the enemy had taken down the trophy out of the case, after those charred fingerprints got on my life. The Spirit of God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, when they heard the sound of the Lord, they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. "Where are you?" God called. And Adam answered, "I heard you, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Finding myself, losing myself, finding myself, losing myself. I want to invite you today to allow the Lord's proclamation over you to stand. There are questions that we all struggle with ever since that day. Early questions, primal questions, questions deep on the inside of us, questions that we might not ever put into words, questions like, am I safe? I was in the garden, I was protected, and an enemy got in. Am I safe? Will I ever be safe again? Am I loved? Or did I blow it so badly that I can never be loved again? Am I wanted? Am I wanted? Or am I just another of the sands of the seashore, too small to matter? Can I ever be good enough? Will my life ever have purpose again? I want to invite you to chew on those questions. I want to invite you to wrestle with those questions. And you've got Psalm 139, right? I want to invite you into this prayer of Psalm 139. It goes like this. There's this beseeching from the people of God, and it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me." But that's not how I memorized it when I was a kid. The way I memorized it when I was a kid, it said, "See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me, Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting." Could you have a heart? Could you have the courage enough to pray a prayer like that? To simply lay yourself out before the Lord and say, "I'm open to the gaze of my Creator. I'm open to the searchlight of my Savior." Could you have the courage enough for that kind of prayer? I want to invite you into something this morning, and it's a little different from how we ordinarily would do this. But I want us to walk through Psalm 139, piece by piece. And I want to invite you, if you could have courage enough for it, to open yourself up to the scrutiny of God. Some of you may want to even find a place at the altar for a time like this, a time to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." You may want to find a place just where you are to simply invite the Lord. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See if there be any wicked way in me, anything in me that doesn't belong." Because there's this promise that says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is it in you that doesn't belong? And I guarantee there's something in you that doesn't belong. But maybe it's actually something God created in you that has become twisted by the enemy of your soul and twisted by what it means to be people like you and me living in a fallen world at a fallen time lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life. Those things get in and they take what God planted in us and they twist it until they become malignancies. Maybe today's a day to excise the malignancy. Maybe today's a day to stop allowing that to define you. So Bryce is going to help us just sort of find the headspace. And I'm just going to walk us through Psalm 139. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I invite you to open your heart and your mind and your spirit to this. If you wanted to find a place at the altar to simply get before the Lord with a heart that would say, God, I'm open to hear whatever it is you have to say, now would be the time. But with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, coming to the front, however God leads you, you have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know everything there is to know about me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. God knows what I'm thinking, even if I don't say it. God, forgive me. God knows where I'm going, even when I haven't gotten there yet. God, turn me around. God knows what I'm saying, even before it comes out of my mouth. Father, in Jesus' name, help me to guard my tongue. You hem me in behind and before. Lord, in Jesus' name, be the filter through which anything in my life must pass before it gets to my heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, be my protection. Be my strong tower. Lord, in Jesus' name, protect me. You lay your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too lofty for me to attain. Lord, in Jesus' name, I confess that I don't even understand all of this. I just lay myself out before you, inviting you to have your way over every relationship, over every encounter, over every word, every place, every action. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths of the sea, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me of the places that I've tried to run from your presence, to run from your calling on my life, to escape, Lord, when I was overwhelmed. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, Lord, including me. And I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days appointed for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. You know my life, Lord. And you know my life span. You know when I'm sick and if and when I will get better. And you know when I will stand before you. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I bow to your sovereignty. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. I matter to you, God. And I'm not even sure why I matter to you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. And see, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me invite you to see the screen just one more time. What if those questions that the enemy has hung over your life? Am I safe? Can I ever be safe again? Am I loved? Can I ever be loved again? Does anyone care? Do I matter to anyone? Can I ever be good enough? Will my life ever have a purpose? What if God could answer those questions for you? What if the Father could write over your life, I am safe. I am safe in the arms of my Father. I'm protected there. What if God could say over your life, I loved you so much that I sent my Son for you? What if God could speak over your life, I want you. I want you to know me. I want you to follow me. I want you to be redeemed. I want you to be my son or my daughter. I want to write your name in my book. I want to count you as my children. I want to have you for my own. What if you could know the nearness of God is my good? I might not ever be good enough, but the nearness of God is my good. What if God has a purpose for your life that maybe even at this late date in your life, you were only just now finding out about? And you could walk in that purpose and you could find that freedom.